You are tuned in to the Grit and Bear It podcast, the first and only podcast devoted to covering the 12-time Calder Cup champions, the Hershey Bears. This is high energy, unfiltered, and at times unfocused hockey talk. Now here's your host, Richard Blosser.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Grit and Bear It podcast. This week, my name is Richard Blosser, the host of the Grit and Bear It podcast, the first and only Hershey Bears podcast out there on the Hockeyverse, presented, as always, by the Hockey Podcast Network. How's everyone doing? It is Monday, April 15th, and in the words of Irwin R. Scheister, have you paid your taxes? Has old Uncle Sam hit you for your subscription fee to live in the U.S.? This year, well, I have, unfortunately. I had to pay a good amount of money to him. Unfortunately did. But anyway, we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about Hershey Bears hockey, darn it. So, hope everyone had a great weekend. It was a full weekend of Hershey Bears hockey as we had a 3-3, a nice home sandwich this weekend where we didn't even have to leave the state of Pennsylvania to do so, as we finished up our PA rivalry series against our two most heated rivals. So, I got a lot to get into. If you're expecting a quick 20-minute version like last week, that's not going to happen. But thank you to all of you who listened last week to that. Wasn't exactly my best work, just because it felt rushed. But I wanted to get something out to all of you. This will be much better this week, I promise. So, let's get back into it. We go way back to Friday night, April 14th, 13th, 12th, 12th! Yes! Friday, April 12th, as the Bears took on those no-good, dirty, filthy Lehigh Valley Phantoms. Final time this regular season, last time around the track, as the Phantoms come in looking to pretty much seal up their number six seed and really get that playoff positioning there in the Atlantic Division, which we will get to a little bit later in this show. The Bears trying to lock down the Kilpatrick Trophy for the season, trying to get the number one seed in all the land and be the regular season champions for the ninth time in the Bears' storied history. The Bears, I do believe, have done quite well against the Phantoms this season. Have to look on this. So far, the Bears are 7-4. 7-4 against the Phantoms this season. So let's get right into it on a Friday night. Good to be at Giant Center. Yeah, I kind of had to go pick up the missus, rush and get off to work. But a nice smattering of people there on a Friday night. Really good amount of people. And you could tell the Bears had something to play for. Granted, a lot of things are already locked up to them, but they'd like to get that number one seed. And the Phantoms really want to try and get their number six seed. But what I always notice with the Phantoms this year, the Phantoms have a lot of parts. But what are they? What are the Lehigh Valley Phantoms? Phantoms, what are you? What do you want to be? What is your team structure? Because they have a lot of good parts out there. They have a Garrett Williams. Garrett Wilson. You have a Timu Zamula out there. Let's see here. You have a Brandon Furry, a Zane Wisdom, Hunter McDonald, Brooks, Adam Brooks. There's stuff there. It's just, you have Victor Maiete out there, but what's bringing it all together? What's the gimmick? What's the plan there, son? And I don't feel like Ian LaPierre and the Phantoms really have one. It's just roll a bunch of people out there and let's just see what happens. That's why you're in sixth place, I guess. And the Bears, knowing that it's a weekend where they gotta try and stay focused. We're coming down the home stretch, five games to go, and set the tone early as Bogdan Treniev wham takes down a Phantom to the seat of his pants and into the corner. Sit down, young fella. You know, Treniev's really been bumping up the physicality this year. Not on the score sheet a lot, but he's not afraid to get into the corners and throw a hit. Methinks the Capitals are going to want to take a good look there at the end at training camp next year. But later, but late in the first period, the Bears trying to get the shots in there on Cal Peterson. Oh, lovely. Chase Preske out near the boards. Wind fires, and a deflection by Matthew Phillips off of Phantom and into the net. They score. Matthew Phillips gets his first goal at Giant Center as a Hershey Bear wearing a chocolate uniform. Gets it in for his second of the season. Chase Preske is 25th assist. Garrett Rowe is 14th, and it's 1-0 Hershey after one. Shots are a bit even at 9-9, which is all right, which is fine. But we know the Bears are better than this Phantoms team. We know this. We know it. They know it, and the crowd knows it. And into the second period we go. The Phantoms really start getting into some penalty trouble. Garrett Wilson up for a trip, then a cross check. Helgi Grains off for interference. Hunter McLeod. Why am I saying McLeod? McLeod. Hunter McDonald off for cross checking. Victor Maite off for checking. It's just stuff up and down the lineup, and the Bears are going to try and make them pay on a power play because Garrett Wilson went off for cross checking. Lemos to Snively. Snively with the Royal Road pass from one end of the ice to the other. Finds Ethan Frank, who just looks at Cal Peterson, winds, fires, and he scores on a power shot! Murder! There's a murder! He just shot that through Cal Peterson! Through him! Ethan Frank is 29th. Hey, I wonder, 29 goals, that's a lot. Will he get into the scoring race this year? No, Adam Gaudette has 42 goals. He's probably not going to get into it. Ethan Frank is 29th. Joe Snively, his 43rd assist. Wow. Alex Lemos, his 26th assist of the season. And it's 2-0 Hershey. We're good. We're good here. It's all right. 2-0 lead on these Phantoms. You know, Hunter could be due for another shutout. He's played really well against the Phantoms. And Garrett Wilson takes a puck around the behind the net. Wraparound shot. And he scores. Garrett Wilson gets his eighth. The captain, Garrett Wilson, who when he scores, just slides over to the blue line and just gets hugs in. And yes, Samu Tamula gets his 28th assist, and it's 2-1 Phantoms. All right. We're cool. We're better than these guys. We'll be fine. There's no reason to panic. There's no reason for me to get upset. These guys will play fine. As we head into the third, and the Bears are starting to ramp up their production a little bit. They get the speed going. They know they have a busy, hard-hitting weekend against them. And Hardy Octel goes behind the net, throws it to a wide-open Logan Day, who just gets it, winds, fires, and he scores! Cal Peterson gets a low butterfly position, but Logan Day just says, I'm putting this puck by you and you're not stopping me, and into the net. Logan Day, Mayday, his fifth goal of the season. Hardy Aman Akhtel, his ninth. Henrik Rybinski's 11th. 3-1 Hershey. I get a text from my buddy Jesse, who's off doing other things this weekend, and he goes, We're done. And my head's like, no. We are not done here. 3-1, two-goal lead? I mean, yeah, I like our odds. But, I'm sorry, I've seen too many Pittsburgh Penguins games over the past 2 weeks where they've blown third-period leads. 3-1 is not a safe lead in this modern hockey times. It's not. Teams can come back from it. And then things decided to get physical as during a power play for the a rush by the Phantoms. They just come down, throw a little puck in there on Shepard. Shepard, who catches it right in the breadbasket, holds it for a faceoff, and a Phantom just goes a little right there on the pad of Hunter Shepard. And ho-ho, Big Daddy Dylan Mickelrath sees that and goes, "Hey, you, get over here, you mother, bam, bam, bam," and just tees off on a Phantom. Just goes absolutely nuts and bam, "Don't touch our goalie. That's our Shepard. Get off him. Get off." And Daddy's angry. Daddy's home, boys and girls. And he goes off for roughing, but you know what? That's 2 minutes I will gladly take. I will absolutely gladly take. So later on in the period, Bears still up 3-1 as Chase Preske at the point fires a shot, stick down by a Phantom, but it knocks the stick out of his hands. And Preske recollects the puck and sees an easy lane down to Joe Snively and just flings it down. And Snively tips it in for the goal, and he scores for his 12th goal of the season. And Cal Peterson is just like, "I'm done. Can I just go now? Can I just take my money and go? I am so over this." This man cannot control rebounds to save his life. This man has exactly zero fucks to give and is just waiting for his next paycheck to come in and see which team will take him next year. Now, Cal, I know you're really trying here, but let me tell you the odds here, Sparky. Go look up the name Aaron Dell. You know, that might be your future. Just saying. And the Bears basically put it on lockdown at that point. Are able to ride out the clock, ride out the game. 3-2-1. And that's the end of the game. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Phantoms. Bears win it. 4-1 the final. As the Bears get another victory on home ice. Your three stars of the game were, let me bring up here, Chase Preske with two assists, Matthew Phillips with a goal, Joe Snively with a goal and assist, takes the first star of the night, and Bears win it and get within a point of the Kilpatrick Trophy. And this was mentioned a lot on the broadcast, which is as tradition and custom. And we had to wait out what happened out on the West Coast because the Coachella Valley Firebirds were taking on, I think, the Bakersfield Condors. And all the Firebirds had to do was lose in any fashion, and the Bears won. And I'm kind of staying up a little bit because I need to ride off the adrenaline of the game. Yeah, I kind of have to be in at work at 8 tomorrow. But you know what? 2-0 Condors. It's about 11:30, about ready to go to bed. Look at the it's 2-2. Oh, well, guess what? To finish the job in Wilkes-Barre, I'm going to bed. Wake up the next morning. Oh, Bakersfield wins it in overtime. So that means the Bears, without having to do any more on their point, have clinched the Kilpatrick Trophy and are now number one seed in all the land. And now have that home ice advantage heading into the Calder Cup playoffs. Every series will have home ice advantage for your Hershey Bears, something we did not have last year. Might have helped a little bit, but you know what? You know what? To be able to do that for the 9th time in the Bears' history is a pretty darn good feeling. Not, you know, winning the Kilpatrick Trophy, I think, for the first in a normal season, I think since the God Mode team, I think. I know we won one during that COVID shortened season in the spring of 2021 when all was weird and all was dark and desolate and my anxiety was off the charts and my sleep was horrible. And we don't talk about that. We don't talk about that spring of 2021. So congratulations on the Bears for pulling that off. We know how good this team is, and we have even more hardware to prove it. But as we all know, the one trophy, the most important one, is, of course, the legendary Silver Chalice that sits in Springfield waiting to be claimed by a team in the Calder Cup playoffs. And as we've often said, winning the Calder Cup? No, we're not winning it. We're just merely bringing it back home where it belongs. But we still got work to do, ladies and gentlemen, because on a Saturday night, the Bears went back out on the road to take on those no-good, dirty, filthy Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins, and yours truly did the really smart idea, hey, why don't I drive up and watch this game? Yeah, that's a good idea. You know, me and the missus haven't been to Wilkes-Barre in a long, long time. And you know what? It's time I go back. It's a 6 o'clock start. It's a 6 o'clock start on a Saturday night, which means we get done around 9. It's about nearly 2-hour drive home. We get home before 11, in bed probably by midnight. So, you know, this is doable. It's been overdue. And I go back up to Wilkes-Barre, and I don't mind going up there, because if you're going to ask me which one I'd much rather go to, Wilkes-Barre or Lehigh, Wilkes-Barre all day, every day. It's the lesser of two evils. So we travel up to the arena in the shadow of a mountain, and I'll talk more about this during the summer when Tales from the Road returns. Once we hit August, I'll talk a little bit more about my ventures to the Mohegan Sun Arena, but it was nice to get back up there. It really was. And to see Tux in action, do a little fun little bit with him, even though he threatened one of our bear children by hanging him over the edge of Section 224. And I told him, don't hurt my child! Take me! Take my life instead! Spare the child! Just so everyone knows, that was all a bit and everything. Don't really worry. But the Bears have done really good. Really good against the Penguins this year. And they skate out. And it's Clay Stevenson that leads them out, and Wilkes-Barre comes out in their warm-ups, and oh my god! Red tie-dye! Oh, it's their 25th anniversary season, and that's what they wore during warm-ups in 99. Oh, yeah. Yeah! Wow. Okay. But this is Wilkes-Barre. You gotta respect someone else's toif. And at the other end, of course, it's going to be Joel Blomqvist. No, it's not. Oh, it's Garrett Spark. No, he's injured. Hellberg. Marcus Hellberg. No, he got traded. He got traded to Charlotte. So who'd they get back? Ludwig Weber. Okay. Let's see. He is... Okay, you might remember him from such teams as... What do you mean this is his first professional season? From Switzerland? Who is this guy? Does anybody have anything on him? All right, we're going up against Weber Grill this season. All right, fine. So we're underway there in Wilkes-Barre, and this is... It's interesting being back on the road again. And, oh, look, it's their last home game of the season. So it's fan appreciation night. Lucky me. I get a scratch off for a Outback gift certificate at participating locations, which is nowhere near where I live. And I don't go to Outback Steakhouse anyway. Not really. But my wife did get a St. Patrick's Day Pittsburgh Penguins hat. So, good on him. Fine. So we're underway there at Mohegan Sun Arena. Good, healthy crowd of 7 grand. This is the fullest I have ever seen Wilkes-Barre. And the fans there, they're into it. Wilkes-Barre takes it to the Bears early with the first 7 shots on goal on there, Clay Stevenson. Lots of little mistakes by the Bears. Little mistakes by them. Puck hop off the sticks, players not in certain positions. Wilkes-Barre pushing the pace, playing like a team that really, really, really needs 2 points. Not that the Bears don't, but you could see the more desperate team. Late in the first, Wilkes-Barre takes the puck up. Bill Jelsma drops a puck for Avery Hayes, who just takes it. Rister Ping scores! And there it is. I'm ready for you this time. I don't need to cover up my ears because I got snore blockers in my ears. You're loud, but you're not deafening. And don't tell me, all of you Bears fans, well, I've gone in there and the horns never bothered me one bit. Yeah, you're sitting in 100 level where it's not that bad. I'm directly under it. Because I like sitting there. But Avery Hayes gets his 6. Buell Jelsma gets his 1st. Scooter Brickley gets his 1st. Lots of rookies there in Wilkes-Barre. It's 1-0. As we head into intermission. And it's a really crowded concourse there in Wilkes-Barre because there's 7,000 people in there. And it's like they stopped building after the South End was built. Woo. But it was good to meet my one friend Evan, who's an off-ice official up there in Wilkes-Barre, training to become a referee. Even does USPHL games down here. It's really good to see him do stuff like that. But we head into the 2nd, and the Bears, now they're coming out a little bit more, getting some more shots in on goal. It'd be nice if you'd bring it this way, because I'm sitting at the South End where the Bears shoot twice. Would be nice to see that. But the Bears, Riley Sutter finds Hoffer, wrister over, Hardy Octel kneeling slaps the puck into the net, and the Bears tie it. Yes! Hardy Amon Octel gets his 2nd. Ryan Hofer is 4th. Riley Sutter is 13th. The bottom 6 getting the work done. And it's 1-1. We're tied. It shuts the building up. I don't have to hear, yeah! I already heard enough of that last weekend. Thank you very much. 1-1. We're tied. They're in the 2nd. All right, boys. Get after them. You're going to just come on. I mean, I'm not really invested in this game, not because I don't care, but I know the Bears have everything locked up. I know the Bears don't have that much to play for lack of better words. It's not stressful, all right? I'm up there to have fun. I'm not up there to be a prick. But down comes Wilkes-Barre, pressing yet again. And Jansen Harkins walks off the walls. Who's got him? Into the circle. Shoots. Clay gets a little bit, but not enough. And it's in. Yeah. 2-1 Wilkes-Barre. Jansen Harkins, I thought he was still up in Pittsburgh, gets his 5th. Evan Vuerling is 5th. And I go down for 2nd intermission. And I'm like, you know, it's a good thing we locked up everything last night, because I had a feeling that if the Bears needed a point tonight, they weren't going to get it up here in Wilkes-Barre. That if this was a mini 3-game series this weekend and it was against Wilkes-Barre, I felt like we won game one. Let's just say game one was in Hershey and Wilkes-Barre took the 1st. Game 2 was up here. Bears have a chance to win it. And you just knew that Wilkes-Barre was going to come out in this. And you just had a bad feeling heading into it. And I did. And it's 2-1. Well, don't you believe in the boys that are going to go up there and get an ass whooping? Yeah, I believe they can do it. But you have those feelings going into a game on how things might turn out. This is one of them. And we head into the 3rd. And my suspicions are confirmed. Wilkes-Barre still pressing the pace, holding the Bears. It's like we're 4 minutes into the period and the Bears only have 2 shots on goal. Chip-ins into the zone are caught by Wilkes-Barre defensemen and knocked out of the zone. Pucks can't even get pushed in deep, and if they are, they're collected quickly. If we have possession, a puck hops a stick, hits a stanchion, and dies. Doesn't bounce off the boards. Pucks are gone back to the points, and no one's there. Guys are out of position. This is not good. And I don't know what it is. But little mistakes. They're not great mistakes, like somebody missing a guy. It's just a lot of little mistakes. Positioning. Puck possession. Getting a freaking shot on net. The Penguins do get one more on a power play as on Corey Avanoski deflects a Xavier Ouellette shot to make it 3-1. We're done. 4.5 minutes to go. Corey Adronofsky gets a 7th. Xavier Ouellette, 23rd. Jansen Harkins, a 7th assist. We're done. 12 minutes to go in the third. 2 minutes to go. Till about 2 minutes to go in the third. The Bears do not get a shot on goal. For over 10 minutes. From 5:24 of the third to 19:10 of the third. I just want to repeat that for everyone. 5:24 of the third to 19:10 of the third, according to the official AHL play-by-play. 14 minutes without a shot on goal. 14. That ain't paying the bills. Sam Pouliot gets a goal late off a deflection from Jack Rathbone and Austin Rushev, and it's 4-1, and we're done. We're absolutely done. Fourth goal, yeet! And that does it. Bears lose 4-1 the final up there in Wilkes-Barre, and I hear it from the fan base already. Well, looks like the Bears didn't get off the bus. Bullcrap. Wilkes-Barre just capitalized on their chances. A power play goal, a deflection, and a goal scorer's goal. The only bad one, I think, was the Harkins. And he just overpowered Clay. A guy that definitely is going to see time in Pittsburgh. Well, Clay Stevenson needs to play better. Ever since he got his shutout, he hasn't been playing well. Are you serious? You fickle bastards. Yeah, Clay might need a little bit more time, and who knows, maybe had some shutouts on some easy teams when his team was really bailing him out early in the season. But that's what goalies go through. It's up and down, peaks and valleys. Hershey's known for goaltending. You guys have seen this for years. So who knows? Clay might turn it on come the postseason. We know Hunter Shepard's our guy. He's probably our number one. But Clay ain't too bad of a backup himself. So, oh well. He had a bad game in Wilkes-Barre. Oh well. And he stepped in when we needed to. This was a man who gave you 2 solid wins in Iowa. That helped got that 5-game winning streak going. Ain't nobody bitching then. Sorry. Positivity. I should be positive. But we're going to go to Sunday. One more against the Penguins. And we'll get to that right after this. All right, Bears fans, time to talk about our sponsor, DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the National Hockey League, has a great deal for you. You can bet just $5 on any game this week and get 200 in bonus bets instantly when you use code THPN. Boys and girls, we are coming down to the final parts of the hockey season, everyone. Games all the way until Thursday are meaning something, not just for the Capitals, Flyers, Penguins play Wednesday. That could be a game that deserves their playoff positioning or might be absolutely meaningless. And you can put sweet action on all of them as we head late into the season in the National Hockey League. And you can only do that with DraftKings Sportsbook. And make sure you download the app now and use code THPN. And new customers can bet just $5 on the NHL and get 200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook using code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after insurance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions. Terms, responsible gambling resources. The NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 24, all rights reserved. And we're back here on the Grit and Barrett podcast. Thank you so much to DraftKings Sportsbook for sponsoring this podcast. So, the boys were back at it there on a Sunday afternoon, 5 o'clock start. Didn't get home till midnight the previous night. I should know, the boys' bus passed me on the way back home on 81 South. And lucky me, back at it there on a Sunday afternoon to take on the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins. Final time, last time around the track against Wilkes-Barre, playoffs permitting. So Wilkes-Barre comes in, and they're still looking to get 2 points. Technically, they could pass Providence. There is a chance, there's a way. If Providence loses and Wilkes-Barre kind of wins out. But more than likely, they're getting the third seed. And there's nothing wrong with that. There really isn't. They've been getting hot as of recently. So is Charlotte. Maybe Lehigh is a little bit. Providence is still Providence. So it's Hunter Shepherd versus Joel Blomqvist. So Hunter, grab your palisman and get out there. And a nice, healthy 10 grand at Giant Center on a Sunday afternoon where it's kids' night. Okay, it's kids' night. Woo! So it's yay! And we... Okay, they put kids' drawings up of Hershey and Wilkes-Barre. They gave them, color in the lines and whatever colors you want to use for Wilkes-Barre and Hershey. And that's great. And they showed them up on the big board. Except they took like 50 of them and they're just going to rotate them really, really, really fast. Even though made by dot, dot, dot was there. You couldn't really see it because the whole thing went so darn fast. Did they do anything else that it's kids' night? Nah. Not really. You know, if you count Coco walking around and banging his drum, remember, bang the drum slowly. You know, that would have been a really good night to be up in Media Row. Just saying. Would have been a really good night to be up there. But anyway, Bears, Pens, good amount of black and gold there at Giant Center. At Giant Center. And this is a lot more even as we're there in the first period. More physicality in this game. And I'm sure Big Daddy Dylan Mickelrath, he's really going to bring things up a notch. And what? Dylan Mickelrath got called up? What do you mean Nick Jansen got injured again? Oh, there's another body that gets called up to Washington. I know there's a lot of Bears faithful that don't want Washington to make the playoffs, and that's a real possibility too, but let me think about it this way, everyone. You do realize that Washington could still make the playoffs and get eliminated before the Bears even play a game. Remember, the Bears' first playoff game may not be until May 1st. Just saying. So it is rather even between these two teams. A lot of pushing and a lot of shoving. The Bears play a lot better in this game. This game pushing the tempo, trying to do what they can because both these teams are on a 3-3. So it's going to be Sunday afternoon hockey before you know it, everyone. Late in the first, the Bears do get a power play because Scooter Bricky goes off for cross-checking, and that was a good healthy cross-check period winding down. About, we're going to have, 19 seconds of a power play? Well, there's no way the Bears are going to do anything with this. No way. Mike Vecchione goes up to Joe Snively. Snively over to Day. Winds, fires, power shot. He scores! With 5 seconds left in the period! Logan Day! Mayday! Mayday! Logan Day with 5 seconds left! Just blows one by Joe Blomqvist. Wow! Logan Day is 6th. Joe Snively is 44th. Mike Vecchione is 19th. 1-0 Hershey. That's a power play goal. That's a sin. That's a fail. And all right. Walk around during the first intermission. Hey, there's my buddy Nick. There he is. You know, we're going to talk a little bit, walk back around, head back into the second. And I was trying something new in this game that I took my earbuds with me. And I'm going to listen to the radio side of things while I watch this game. And while in theory that sounded like a good idea, I quickly ran into the problem that the radio and what I'm watching in real time has about a 5 to 8 second delay. So, yeah, it was like the goal happened, and then about 8 seconds later, while I'm celebrating with everyone, then Zach starts saying all the stuff that led to the goal. So, not the best of ideas I had, but worth one giving a shot. So 1-0 Bears after the first, and into the second, Wilkes-Barre's pressing back a little bit, but we'll be fine. We'll be absolutely fine, but who's that coming off the board? Throws one in front, Hunter, rebound right in, and they score! Vinny Hanastroza? I thought he was still up with Pittsburgh. Oh, they sent him back down. I thought they kept him up because Nola Chari was injured. Vinny Hanastroza gets his 16th. Dmitry Samozikov gets his 10th. Sam Pulian gets his 15th, and we're tied at 1. Great. Great. Absolutely great. And we had later on there in the second, the physicality's picking up. Some blown calls by the refs, which weren't going very well, including Bogdan Treniev gets a steal on the puck. He's in all alone. He shoots, and he scores! Bogdan Treniev scores on a breakaway, and the ref's not calling it. The light went off. They celebrated. And the refs go to look at it. And it went in. It was a little close, but I saw the net move. It went in. So we go to look at it. This should... The Bears lead. And the refs look. And they look. And the official call on the ice was no goal. And they go... They come out, take a look at it, and no goal? What? How is that not a goal? It went in. It hit the bar. It came back out. But that's what happens. Ping, net out. I've seen it. It was a goal. But explained to Garrett Mitchell on the broadcast, it hit the back pipe and came back out. But the twine moved. That means it went in. No, it hit the bar so hard that it shimmied the net. It never hit. It didn't hit the bar and go down. A milli-inch further, that hits the bar, goes down, and crosses the net. A game of inches. You think Bears fans want to hear that? No. Oh my God, the refs suck. The refs hate us. Why do they pick on us? The game's tied, everyone. They hate us. Why do the referees hate us? Shut up. God. Into the third we go. Into the third. And you can feel it's tense in there. You can feel that, yeah, the Sunday afternoon legs are coming into play. Bears are reaching. Wilkes-Barre's reaching. Loose pucks kind of stay in the open for a little too long as the Bears just don't have the legs to get the giddy-up going. And when that happens, you tend to take penalties. Like, Lemos goes off for tripping, even though the guy was already falling. They called him either for a trip or for a hook. And he goes off. Great. Giant Center's all pissed off and everybody's all upset, and this team's really going to be, fan base is going to be all riled up, and a big block by Dmitry Ozipov. It's Vinny Hanastroza was all on the slot. Ozipov knocks it down, slaps it out. Riley Sutter chips it up ahead. Jimmy Huntington, he's up. He's all alone on a breakaway. Jimmy Huntington in look, shoots, and he scores! Jimmy Huntington! Jimmy the Hunter beats Blomqvist 5-hole, and the Bears shorthanded take the lead. Yes, world, go on. Jimmy Huntington, his 16th, and our current leader in the clubhouse for unsung hero. Jimmy Huntington is 16th. Riley Sutter's 14th, and Dmitry Ozepov. Somebody get that man a 20-piece McNugget because he fucking deserves it. Not the McNuggy minute, you Capitals fans, but get that man a fucking 20-piece McNugget because he deserves it. Because he blocked that, slapped it out of the zone, and Riley got it up to Jimmy. Wow. Also, it's his first point as a Bear. 2-1 Hershey in the third. All right. Now, Wilkes-Barre's trying to press a little bit more. They're trying to get the game going, but you know, this is where the Sunday afternoon legs come into play. They can't get to pucks quickly. Neither can the Bears. We're at a stalemate, ladies and gentlemen. And Wilkes-Barre takes a penalty, and the refs do actually get him for a hook. The hook is the crook, Jerry. And then coming back into the zone to try and keep the puck in on the goalie went out for the extra attacker. Stick comes up and gets Huntington in the face. And yep, two penalties. And 2 minute 5-on-3 as both of them sit. And the Bears, I mean, they try, they get set up, they look, they're trying to get that play up to Ethan Frank in the slot, who wide fires and swings and misses, and Wilkes-Barre slaps it out of the zone. Come back into the zone quickly, 55 seconds to go, and we're just hitting the perimeter, trying to look for the shot. Come on, guys! 30 seconds, over to the outside, down low, back out to the point, we're trying to bring it in. Come on, guys! Guys, the entire Giant Center is in a further 20 seconds left. For the love of God, guys! Just try to do something. Day, over to Snively. Vecchione fires. He scores! And he scores! It's in! Blomqvist trot to kick off in the goal may have come off. It points. It's in. It counts. Vecchione, 17th. Snively is 45th. Logan Day is 18th. 3-1 Hershey. 5-on-3 power play goal. And the clock winds down. 3 minutes to go. Blomqvist comes off. And the Bears, you know, they kind of have this annoying habit of, you know, when the extra attacker comes on in the NHL and guys constantly shoot for the empty net. Doesn't matter. We have it. Down it goes. But the Bears are like, Riley Sutter has it. Oh, I don't have it. Oh, I think there's Huntington. He's out in the open. I want you to have it. Jimmy's like, out of the zone. Maybe someone will get it. It just kills the clock. I'm being a team player. Comes back into the zone. Hardy has said, oh, there's Jimmy. I'll just throw it up to him because I deserve to be so nice. Guys, what I'm trying to say is just shoot for the damn empty net. I'm not saying take 5 icings in a row, but be a little selfish. And it's like Matthew Phillips heard me. As Vecchione collects a puck in the corner, comes up to Matthew Phillips, and Phillips just goes, F this. Fires it down, and goes, and into the empty net. Matthew Phillips gets his third, his second on the weekend. Vecchione gets his 20th assist. And good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Wilkes-Barre. Bears win it, 4-1 the final. And that does it for the weekend. We win the weekend going 2-1. And the Bears get their 52nd win of the weekend and gives them the most wins in this 72-game era. And now have the chance, if they get 3 points in the next 2 games, they have a chance to pass, percentage-wise, the best percentage ever held by the 1992-1993 Binghamton Rangers. Raise your hands or honk your horns if you remember them. Whatever the percentage is. The Bears' current percentage now is 779. I think theirs was like 785 or something. So, lots on the plate for the Bears. And we're going to have a decision to make because we only have 2 games left, everyone. Wednesday against Charlotte and Saturday against Charlotte. And then that's it. The regular season is done. The valve is shut off. And we're going to get about a week off to see where the chips may fall and see where, you know, who we're going to play. So at the time of this recording, as the playoffs stand right now, the Bears are number one in all the lamps in everything at 53-13-0-5 with 109 points. Providence is in second with 89 points. Wilkes-Barre's in third with 85. Charlotte is in fourth with 83. The Wolfpack are in fifth with 74. Let me wait for the stupid thing to load. Maybe I should just go back to the other one. Maybe that'd be easier. Charlotte is in fifth with 74. Phantoms in sixth with 69. Nice. Springfield barely holding on for their playoff lives with 65 points. And Bridgeport is dead last with 57. Dead and buried. In the North, the Crunch lead with 84 points. Rochester in second with 83. Cleveland in third with 82. The Marlies in fourth with 80. Belleville in fifth with 76. And the Rocket in sixth with 74. And the Comets in dead last with 73. But one last weekend to go, everyone. So as the Bears sit right now, there is almost nothing else for us to play for. There is none. Dubé did not play on Sunday. Not because he's hurt, but for precautionary reasons. Matt Strome didn't play the third for precautionary reasons. Took a slash and sat him down. So right now, I don't know how he plays Charlotte over the next 2 days. Because Charlotte is still playing for playoff positioning. As of right at the time of this broadcast, like I said, they are fourth. They could still pass Wilkes-Barre. They could. They can't get past they could get past Providence, but that's a long shot for that to happen. So Charlotte still has a lot to play for to get that home ice in the in that play-in round or first round or whatever the hell they call it. So we'll see. And Charlotte will have traveled. They're on a lot of travel right now because their last home games was about a week ago. They spend the last 2 weeks of the season on the road. So we'll have to see. If the playoffs started right now, it would be Wilkes and Lehigh in the first round and Charlotte and Hartford in the other round. And I hear with Wilkes and Lehigh from friends of mine in the league that very well could be a 1-1-1. Would I go up to Wilkes-Barre to see a game 3 between the Pens and Phantoms? Perhaps. Maybe. We'll see how it goes. Perhaps. But 2 games left to go in the season, everyone. So what do we do now? Well, we just sit back and let the dice fall and see if they fall in our favor or not. It's all up to the hockey gods now and not ours. We've done everything we can. We've worked hard all season, and now we do have a chance to rest. We do have a chance to mix up some lineups, sit some guys out who have played a lot of games, do a little bit of load management, and we'll see. We'll also have awards on Saturday. We'll have awards that we'll give out, and we'll have our own versions to hand out here on the show as well. So this is it. We head into the last week of the season, everyone, and thank you for joining me along the way. It's been a long way since we started, all the way back at the end of September, the preseason game there in D.C., but here we are. All that work is going to get put into the form of chasing the legendary Silver Chalice. So thank you to everyone for listening to the Grit and Barrett podcast this week. This week, everyone, we will have a regular show next week, and then the following week after that, maybe I'll bring Corey on. Maybe him to do kind of a, you know, see how things shape up in the playoffs. Maybe a bit of a playoff preview with him. Who knows? And then after that, who knows how things are going to go, ladies and gentlemen, because it's the playoffs. Anything goes, as the musical once said. And as for me, well, it's not the last time I'm going to say this, but as we head into the playoffs, we'll make them hear us, and we'll make a stand, and the moment will soon be at hand. And to quote a song from Tangled, the animated series, we'll be ready, Wilkes-Barre will be ready, Charlotte will be ready, Hartford, they'll be ready, the Phantoms, they will. RL Guapo, Providence will be ready. Many teams in the North. The Firebirds will be looking for revenge. But we'll make them hear us. We'll make them hear the roar once again. And with the line in the sand, the moment will be at hand. And as for me, well, I'll be ready as I'll ever be. See you next week.
Thank you for downloading this episode of the Grit and Barrett Podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe on whatever podcast platform you are currently listening to. If you are listening on Apple or Google, please leave us a 5-star review as it appeases our algorithm overlords. If you enjoyed this podcast, please check out the Hockey Podcast Network, where there is a podcast for each and every NHL team. We also cover the American Hockey League. They have a podcast about college hockey and all the ins and outs of the hockey world. If you wish to know more about our parent club, please check out the official Caps Chirps podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network, as they cover all things Washington Capitals. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at GritAndBarrettP1 on Twitter. That's at GritAndBarrettP1 on Twitter. This podcast is dedicated to the memory of Patricia Blosser, who passed away on December 5th, 2020, to dementia and COVID. The show is also dedicated to all of the Hershey Bears friends, fans, and family who lost their lives to cancer. Cancer sucks. Thank you once again for listening to the Grit and Barrett Podcast, and go Bears.